So one day, last 2 weeks, I got this text from Pastor Bill, and I went, oh, what? You know, so I was terrified because I'd never tried to even think of the question you were asking me for. What does Easter mean to me? So many years ago, I've asked the question, why Jesus? Like, why him? And again, I've asked myself, why me? And to today, I don't have those answers, and I'm glad I don't, because if I did, I won't be at church today. I will have church at home, because now I would know everything. Praise the Lord. So why me? 2 years ago, I had to be at the shelter. That was my first time, and I haven't been back. That was my first time, and I've not been back, because when I got into the space, my spirit was crushed. My soul was subdued. My body crumbled. I took ill instantly in that space. I was sick. I had to leave. And as I drove home, I said, God, why did I believe? How did I come to believe? How come the gospel made sense to me? How come I said yes to you? I know you love those women out there. You know them by name, and you love them equally. So God, why did you save me? So I drove myself home thinking of this. Why me? Why am I not like them? Why am I who I am? So I got home. I puked. I was sick. I've not been back there again. And each time I think of it, I stop to think of it. It was just a horrible experience for me to think about. Why Esther? Why did I get it? How come the gospel made sense to me? Why not them? Why did you save me? But many years ago, maybe 20-some years ago, I stumbled on the scripture that says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 6, that God wanted me to be his child. He said, I want them to be my people, that I would be their God. I would be their father. And that many years ago, I thought there is a God looking for me, searching for me, wanting me to be part of his persons, part of his people, to be a nation for him. And right that same scripture, it says, to be a treasured possession. I said, God, really? And I said to myself, that many years ago, I was never even your people. You were never my God, but you wanted to be my God. You really want to be my father? And the love of God, even at that time, overwhelmed me. That God was seeking me out to be, okay, I want to be your father. I want to be your daddy. And I remember just being overwhelmed and saying, God, thank you for searching for me, for wanting to be my father, for wanting to be my God. You know, the Bible verse that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, John 3:16, is popular today as it was 25-some years ago. And that scripture tripped me. Because God plunged me into what he calls love. And I couldn't find the depth. I couldn't reach the tip. And I just felt, I'm like, what is this, God? What is this? This is love? This is too much. This is way too much, God. And I would go around and ask people, do you know God's love? And they would say, yeah. And I would say, no, you don't. I would go around asking, what, do you understand what John 2:16 means? They say, yes. I said, no, you don't. Because if we did, we wouldn't be here right now. There's no such thing. You don't understand the love of God. I don't, even though I feel overwhelmed at the time. And I said, God, this is awesome. And I will sleep and I will feel wrapped in God's love. I will feel his arms over me, resting on my chest. I'm going, God, this is just, I don't know. I had no words to describe it. And then I put me in that scripture, for God so loved me. And I go, what is there to love, God? How could you? What do you love about this Esther? I could not find it. But scripture says, for God so loved Esther. I don't know about you, but he so loved me, he gave something to express that love towards me. Until tomorrow, I don't get it, but I accept it. I take it. I say, yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. And then we move on. See, I like the name Peter, and that guy they call Peter. You know, when Jesus was with them, things was perfect. Everything worked the way they should. You know, there was miracles, there was testimonies, healings, deliverance, dead were raised to life. There was plenty of food even. You didn't have to work because you could turn stone to bread. Those amazing things were going on. And Peter was so, with all the passion he had, said, Jesus, I love you. I will serve you to the end. You know, that was how I felt too. I gave my life to Christ. Or maybe he gave me his life. I don't know which one happened first. But here I am saying, yes, Lord. Like Peter was saying, yes, Lord, I will serve you. I will die for you. I will be out in the snow, out in the rain. I will walk through the fire for you. I will bend right back over whatever you say, Lord. And Jesus said, I know. And the book of Luke chapter 22, I know you love me, Peter, and I love you too, but the devil wants to snatch you away from my hand. Jesus did not stop there, but I want to stop there for a little bit. That even though I love the Lord, I love him so much. He showed me he loved me. He showed me all these amazing things about himself. He lets me know, Esther, the devil wants to snatch you out of my hands. He lets me know that he loved me, but there's somebody else out there who wants you as well. And I can tell you, many times over, I will have been snatched away. I will have been snuffed off this earth. I will have perished and led astray. Trials, temptations, and the things that come at you, the garbage, the persecution that come at you. Yes, because there's somebody out there who wants to sniff us out of God's hands. And God lets me know that there's somebody out there who is looking to devour you. And I can think back of all the things that have gone wrong in my life. Things that would have made me to turn back and say, God, it's not working. The traps, the temptations, the pits, the persecution, the challenges of life, and all of those things that come at you and me has come at me. Hey, people think I'm always happy. It's because something is there that keeps me in alignment. There's something in there that is stronger than my troubles that keeps me in alignment with God. Because Jesus went further. I'm glad he went further. He didn't just stop Peter. The devil wants to snatch you. If he stopped there, that wouldn't be a good story to tell today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because that ain't my testimony today. My testimony is that Jesus went further and he said, but I prayed for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That he prayed for me. Not only did he pray for me, he continues to pray for me because I have a mediator who intercedes before the Father on my behalf. Because when those challenges come again, he's telling it, no, you can't have Esther. You won't have Esther. She's not your candidate. There's no vacancy for this in her life. I say, stop it right there. And I'm grateful for that. That's my testimony. The minute that the story of his death brings to me is that he gives me freedom. It means freedom for me. Praise the Lord. I prayed for you, Peter. I prayed for you, Esther, because you love me. I love you so much, but somebody else wants you, but I prayed for you. There's a joke I don't take lightly, so I will just say it now. If you said to me, shame on you, Esther, I will be quick to respond to that because there's no shame on this woman here. All my shame, I always will say, whether or not you're a Christian, I will say there's no shame on me. All my shame has been taken away. In fact, I am shameless. I say that all the time. I have no shame because what Easter means is freedom for me. Freedom to be me, to be Esther, to embrace what God brings my way and say, God, okay, if this is it, I trust you. It means freedom to be Esther, to be who God has called me to be. And I say yes to that. Praise the Lord. You know, last week, Tuesday, we had the AGM meeting. And even though Margaret was at my table, It did not stop God from speaking to me. It's amazing how God's voice was loudest than yours, Maggie, but thank God I heard him. So I sat there downstairs with all the laughter and chatter, and God tells me, this is the reason why you can go out there and do exploit. I felt secured. I felt stable. There was something stable about it, something strong, something unshakable, something unstoppable. Because the Bible says, when things that will come to move, when all what can move, moved, what can shake, shake, something stands firm. Praise the Lord. And God tells me, I have used these people as a garment to just call to you around. I say, God, I feel so too. I agree, even though Maggie is in the garment, but it's okay. You know, it still works. But God tells me, he said, this is the reason why you go out there, you can do exploit. The reason why I can go out there and make trouble, because I know I can come back to you. And say, pray for me. Praise the Lord. I feel solid in this space. I feel balanced. I feel stable. I feel strong. That's what Easter did for me. God gives us security. We feel secured in him. And when things that will shake, you're still standing. I may be vibrating, but I'm still standing. Because he secures you. He secured me. Praise the Lord. For me, what it means to me to be Easter, by the way, I think it means Esther as well, but yeah, that'd be for a different Sunday. I will explain what Easter and Esther has to do in common. But it also means clearance. It means clearance. You know, for me, when I have a place to go to, and I know I can be there, I have the clearance to show up. You have the ticket, you know, the admission. You know, it's different from somebody who is there to buy the ticket. So I feel like I have clearance with Easter. It gives me clearance to even think to access God's presence. There's power in knowing that you can come. You know, there are times I want to pray. And, you know, there's many prayer points, by the way. And I don't even know which one is the most important, but they're all just most important ones. So I just sit down there and I just rest. I just say, God, thank you that I can come. If just alone, just I can come. I have clearance to come. That's what Easter did to me. It gave me clearance to come. So I have clearance to come in his presence. And more than that, I have access to enter in. I have access. Easter means access for me. It means access, it means clearance. I can come. I can come anytime, wherever. It doesn't matter. I can come. And I am glad that when Paul says in Galatians 6:17, said, therefore, let nothing trouble you. Let nothing trouble me. Why? Because I have a seal of ownership that I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. That's why I don't care. I have things that bother me. I break down, I cry when you're not there, you know. But I feel secured because of Easter, because I have access, because I have clearance, I can come. And I hope that you can come, or that you feel that you have is clearance to come. At least get in and sit there and rest there. Because you have access, I have access. That's my secret. People think I'm just happy for nothing. No, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's one. And more things to come. But I am free to be Esther. I am free to embrace what God has made provision for me that is free of charge. So Easter means access. It means clearance. It means freedom for me. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Esther. Very well said. Hanukkah?
I'm not as good as a speaker as Esther, so I will just read it. Good morning. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4. Resurrection. Without Easter, we would not have the victory we have now in Christ. Easter means a lot to me, but I do find it hard to put in words what exactly. When Bill asked to share about Easter and what this means for us, I did not want to share at first. Interesting enough, though, the two following nights were quite restless. I would dream, I would see pictures, I would lie awake the whole night and think on what to say. These nights and prayer resulted in the following story, which is actually very interesting because it was so much in my mind, and I just prayed, so Lord, just give me at least 10 minutes so I can sit down. It's hard to get by with four little kids, like 10 quiet minutes, and I got them. So that's when I wrote this story, and I have not changed it, so if there's any like mistakes in the language, just forgive me because English is my second language. Transformation. She could as well have been dead, but it was worse. If you look closer, you could tell. So much sadness. Her eyes showed deep pools of uncertainty, disbelief, pain. She was a young girl, maybe 6 years old, sitting on a curb, her arms around her knees, protecting herself. I got to follow her. She became a young adult. Still the same eyes. Pain had been added, but she almost had gotten used to it. Yeah, ga maar naar papa. You could still see that little girl in her, sitting on the curb with her arms wrapped around her body. Then one day, I seen her again. She was wearing dark clothes. Her hair was unkempt. Dark circles under her eyes. But this time, she had ropes around her arms. I looked closer. She had ropes all around her body. She was laying in the dirt, in front of a wooden cross. Her legs pulled up, and she could barely move because of all the ropes. Then an interesting thing happened. She looked up at the cross, and I seen her eyes lighting up just a bit. You could tell that she was willing to be different and free. All of a sudden, there was this bright light. Very bright indeed. You could not get around it. It was so powerful that even the wooden cross vanished. Looking at this young lady, it was the most wonderful thing. Her robes started to fall off, one by one, and they disappeared. She sat up, soaking up the glorious rays. Her face started to change. It became almost glowing. Her eyes softened. And then there was this spark. She stood up and went to a close by river and jumped in the cold water, crystal clear water. Lately, I seen her again. Her clothes were bright and happy. Her arms were full of life. In fact, 4 young children were around her. Her voice was happy and full of joy, but mostly her eyes. There was life, that spark. You knew she had been touched by something. She had been touched by the power of the resurrection. Praise to be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3.
Thank you very much for sharing that story, Hanneke. Harvey's up next.
Hello, good morning. About 20 years ago, I was listening to a Messianic Jew talk about how he accepted the Lord. And I want to refer to Luke 23. And there's a word there that arrested him. And when Jesus was led before Pilate, Pilate took him out and said, "I've examined him." And he says, "That arrested me," because that's what they had to do with the Passover lamb. And Easter is Passover. And so he was the perfect lamb according to John. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." But he was examined, and so he fit the thing to completeness. And that's what I that's what affects me about Easter. That everything Jesus did there had a meaning to it. The next thing Pilate does, he said, well, he got afraid of them because of the religious spirit that was there. And the religious spirit is dangerous, really dangerous. And their big thing was, their big accusation against Jesus was he healed on the Sabbath. You know, if Jesus came in and healed Titus, I wouldn't care what day it was, would you? But they were offended at him for doing that. And so he says, well, I'll release him to you, because he was afraid of them. But first, he scourged him. Scourging is a terrible thing. I often wondered, why would they do that when they're going to crucify him anyway? It's a terrible death, crucifixion. But he scourged him. It's 39 stripes with a whip or rods. And 2 weeks ago, I was listening to Dr. Don Colbert. And he said, if you take all the diseases in the world and put them into their categories, there's 39 categories. Isn't that amazing? Because Jesus took that on his body on the tree. So he died for our healing. He died for our salvation. He died for all that means to us now. But the Pharisees were so intent on getting things cleaned up nicely for the Sabbath. So they came back to break his legs, to break their legs. And, of course, you know the story. Jesus said, he says, I lay my life down on myself, I take it again. So when they came, he was gone. He was dead. So they didn't. They pierced his side. Well, what came out was blood and water. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. And so I would just say to you that the Pharisees thought they were doing what was right in their eyes, but they're really hypocrites. Now I'd like to step over it, because the Sabbath is in between the 2 days. And there's not much said about it in these verses, is there? Not much said about the Sabbath. I'm not against the Sabbath. I'm just saying there wasn't much said about it. So the next day is the first day of the week. And they come to the tomb, and what do they see? The stone is rolled away, and Jesus isn't there. And the soldiers are all like dead men. They had put a guard around the jail, around the sepulcher. But what was that all about? They said Jesus profaned the Sabbath. What did they do with putting guards there on the Sabbath? You know, think about it. They're hypocrites. Now, the women came to anoint Jesus, and he wasn't there. But you know what happened? He was anointed already. The lady with the alabaster box of ointment poured it on Jesus, and he says, she's done it for my burial. And so he comes out of the grave victorious. Jesus is a victorious Savior. He lives forevermore. He dies once for all. He doesn't have to die again. And I would just appeal to you, if you have never given your heart to Jesus, do it today. Because he's willing and waiting and ready to receive you and accept you. And all you have to do is accept his offer of grace by faith. That is how we receive it. So Jesus came out of the grave victorious. And you know, a few years ago we were in Israel and we went to the garden tomb. It's still empty. It's still empty to this day. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what he's done. As the Gaithers hymn says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I know the future. And I can face the living just because he lives. Thank you.
Very well said. The tomb is still empty. Latoya. Isn't this beautiful to hear different expressions of Easter through different people? We're going to see the full picture soon. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Bless the name of Jesus. When I got the call, believe you me, I'm the most nervous person because I'm saying I should stand before all of you, so many eyes looking at me right now. But as a soldier, you are called, and when you're called, you got to respond. And so is it in the spiritual, it's also in the natural. When you call a soldier to war, he has to make sure to go at his post. So we as children of God, we are soldiers in the army of God. So if we are called, we have to answer to the call. I want to talk about Easter and what it means to me. But I'll do my own in a little different way. Don't think for a moment I never felt the pain. You can't imagine the hurt and the shame. I die for your sins, yes, I'm the one. Don't take it lightly what I've done. It wasn't easy, but it was worth it. Bless the name of Jesus. God came. He was 100% man as well as 100% God. So the pains that you and I feel, he felt pains when he went through all he had to do for us to gain salvation. So what does Easter mean to me? It's hope. That's what came to me, hope. And a man without hope, I guess he's not a man. That's how I see life. And hope is an expectation, a feeling that we have. So hope is very vital to every believer because we can't have faith without hope. And everyone in here today will say, okay, I have faith, but what is faith? Faith is your belief. Who do you believe in? What do you believe? My faith is I believe in God Most High. I believe that Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross that I might have life, that I may get salvation and have it more abundantly through him. So as believers in Christ, we all have to have hope because it's its ingredients with faith. They have to like mix together. It's like a bowl of soup. You have to have you guys here make soup differently, but in my country, you make sure you put some beef in it. And you have to have dumplings and you have to have yams and you have to have a little bit of vegetables and all of that. So when it comes to being a believer in Christ, you have to have both faith and hope mixed together. Because none of us have ever seen Christ, have you? No. I always said to people, the moment you see Christ, it's judgment day. Because you're not going to see him again physically as though we see him. Because he's going to come back one day. But how do we see Christ? We believe because the stories have been passed down from generation to generation. What happened how many years ago. And we heard the story of faith and we believe. And that's how we come to know Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit himself reveal God to us. Because flesh cannot know anything about God. Flesh, this can't stand. Because this wants everything for itself. Because sometimes you're at home. Speak the truth. Sometimes you want to pray, but the flesh says, go and watch some TV. Or, you know, you should go and get call somebody, pray with them. And the flesh says, okay, you are tired right now. You need to get some sleep, right? But if we have Jesus Christ, and he said when he went back, he was going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is who empowers us to live. And when he empowers us also for service. So he's the one who helps us to live the life that Christ called us to live in him. Now, Easter to me is all about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It gives us as believers hope of how the goodwill of God can overcome the forces of evil. So I came up with this scripture from the Bible, Matthew 5, verse 44. From the King James Version, so I marked it. Sorry. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you. But I want to use the part mostly that says, bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you. Now, when you look at the old verse of the Bible, this is how we're going to overcome the forces of evil. We're going to begin to love people, love everyone around you in spite of who they are, in spite of what they have done. Because when Jesus came, he came, and his greatest weapon then and still now is love. Love is how we overcome, because they were expecting him in that era to come with swords to fight war, but he didn't come in that way. He came and he said, love people. Even though you hate me, I will love you. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than the man who lay down his life for his friend. You and I, some of us, we have been saved 20 years, 30 years, 5 years, 3 months. But the thing is this, if it wasn't for the love of God, we could not come to Jesus Christ. And he laid down his life and gave the perfect example. When he was there, he was beaten. He took stripes because he knew we'd need healing. When he came, he was mocked. Some of us, we go through stuff when people say things about us and they gossip, and sometimes we hear and sometimes we do react negatively. But Jesus Christ, because of how he made a perfect example, he said, overcome evil with good. By when persons talk ill about you, speak good. If you don't have anything good to say, say nothing at all. This is how he teaches us to make the perfect example. So we need to overcome any form of hate. Love is the answer to all of it. Of how love can triumph over sin, and how the blessed hope of eternal life will even put an end to death one day. The blessed love will put an end of death one day. We have physical death and we have spiritual death. Physical death, the Bible says 70 and reason of strength, we can go on a little further, right? So we will die one day, every man, but we also have spiritual death. When you are not saved, you're alive, but yet you are dead, right? So the thing is this, how we'll have eternal life through God. He came and he said, look here, even though I die on this cross, I shed my blood so you can have life. I die on the cross, but even though I die on the cross, I'm showing you I'm going to overcome. He took the keys of death and hell, and he says, just like how I have resurrected, one day you also will resurrect. You will live. So some persons right now, they have no hope because they are dead physically and spiritually, and we are the ones who have to be like Christ, share the love that God share with us. Bring hope into their life to let them know, yes, if you choose Christ, one day you will also rise again, because the believer only sleep. So one day you will rise again in Christ. If you have hope, every believer has hope in Christ. Else it wouldn't make any sense come here each day. Doesn't make any sense come here Sunday after Sunday. The praise team come and they try to bring us all into worship. It makes no sense walking through that door, giving up your time, sacrificing your time to come here if you don't have a hope for eternal life. Because we want to go into that land where no sin cannot enter there. I know some of you, we are tired of paying bills, right? We have to, but we are tired of paying bills. We are tired of feeling pain. We are tired of going through sorrow. Recently, I lost someone, and I said to a family member, the thing that grieved me most about losing that individual is knowing that that person is lost. That brings pain to my heart. Because, you see, when a person dies, because I had a grandmother who loved God so much, and when I went to visit her, she said to me, "You know me as Latoya." She said, "Nadi, don't worry. If I'm to die, I'm ready. After all, I've done my 3 score and 10. That's what she said. I've done it. And if I should die now, I'm ready. You know why she was ready? Because she had hope. She knew the God she served. She knew where she was heading. She knew she would have peace. She knew she would have rest. But this other member of my family, he died. He died so young. Right? While you're alive, give yourself to God. For those of you here who don't know Jesus, give yourself to God, because there is no hope nowhere else but in Jesus Christ. And we thank God for the hope that he gives through the death and the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. I thank God that I have a hope today. If I should die, I know, yes, heaven will be my home. And I thank him for that. That's such an assurance that I can be happy, even though I face things. You face so many things in life. So many things are there to bombard you, to buffet you. The enemy, you know, to buffet you, thump you up then, in case you're not getting what I'm saying. He thumps you with sickness. He thumps you with bills. He thumps you with pain. He hits you hard, because he's not going to hit you where you're not going to feel it. Whenever he's firing the arrows, he's making sure to know that this arrow, that the target is going to be hit. And when he's hitting you, he's want to make sure that it is effective. Because I'm not going to play anything that I'm going to lose, any game that I'm going to lose. I'm not that type of person. So the Bible says to be wise as a serpent and to be harmless as a dove. We want to do the same thing as the devil. He's playing to win, but we are playing to win also. And thank God that God gives us the hope that we have already gotten the victory through Jesus Christ. So thank God for hope. Bless the name of
Jesus. Amen. I think the empty tomb is a reason why the ladies are coming alive in this body today. That's an answer to prayer. Thank you. Nathan, I just noticed that I didn't do it alphabetical after all, but I wanted to save the best for last.
It's alphabetical. So Bill asked me to come and say what Easter really means to me. And, you know, I'm probably a man of few words here, so I'll do the best that I can. But God really brings music to me, to my heart. It hits me in a different way. Like, it just gives me the shakes, and I don't know how else to describe it. I know when I'm up playing sometimes, I lose this strength to continue on, and every time I do that, God comes and fills me up, and especially when we're going through the songs this morning, reminders of how good of a father he really is to, not to each and every one of us necessarily, but to myself. For me, he hits me, and it brings me to tears behind the set. I know you guys probably can't see it, but I well up, and it just hits me in a way that I don't feel that way usually. It just brings me to the edge. Going through other songs and such like that this morning, not this morning, but at the cross, he lays his life down for us each and every moment. Easter is a time of renewal and refreshment, and his dying on the cross for me is, in many times, in many ways, it seems automatic. The response that I give seems automatic, but he knows just how to hit you and how to impact you right where you need it, right where it hits you the most. His death has brought me life, has brought life to my family, has brought life to my precious daughter. Where would we be without that life?
Thank you, Nathan. Well, a lot has been said. Thank you, Esther, and Hanukkah, and Harvey, and LaToya, and Nathan. So this is, I just